services in danger. And we've looked at this to see what the problems are and where the greatest risks are. And the greatest risks are in rural areas and border areas, and we see an impending meltdown in the service there. We see more than half the practices closing in Fermanagh probably in the next 2 years. It's the worst we've ever seen, Frank.
Explain to me why a doctor in Fermanagh would decide to close a practice.
He won't, and I say the word
or she, I hasten to add.
No, I say the word he because most of our GPs in Fermanagh are over 55. They're male, they've been there 30 years. They're ready for retirement, and we've seen three practices in the last couple of weeks look for replacements for these doctors who are retiring and fail to get replacements.
So these guys have simply run out of steam?
No, they're ready for retirement. They're my age or older. We have 25% of the GPs in the West. In fact, throughout Northern Ireland, 25% of the GPs are over 55, so they're all ready for retirement. They're providing one-third of all sessions, so they're actually working above the average level. And
Yes, but Dr. Black, it's a luxury to retire at 55.
No, sorry, they're over 55. I'm talking about the 60-year-olds. It'll be the 60-year-olds that are retiring. GPs at present have an option to retire at 60. Within a few years, it'll be 65. That's just the pension that we took on back in the 1980s. Which we paid into and which are allowed. But so, Frank, what we're talking about here really is a large number of GPs, probably about one-third of our GPs retiring in Fermanagh, for instance, in the next 18 months. And nobody, and this is the problem, nobody will take these jobs from them because the jobs are seen as too hard, because the workload is too high, and the workforce that we have coming through, the younger workforce naturally, with a gender balance, which is the other way towards the female side of the house, will not take on these jobs in Fermanagh or Armagh or probably Tyrone in the future.
Explain to me how exactly it works, because there will be people, and you know, I'm not across this fully myself, there will be people listening to the programme who will think, right, let's say a 30-year-old female GP who's setting up a practice in a town down around the lakes of Fermanagh. What exactly happens? How does she get paid? How does she set up? What funds are there for her?
You wouldn't be allowed to set up a new practice because practices are limited to the 349 that we have at the moment.
So if she takes over from one of the retirees?
And that would be delightful if he or she would, because at the moment none of them will. So if you have a practice, say you're 59 and three quarters and you're retiring this month or next month in Fermanagh, and you advertise the practice for a replacement, you will get zero applicants. You will get no one applying. I've applied, I advertised a job in my own practice in Derry a year and a half ago, and I got zero applicants. I spent an awful lot of money on advertisements, and nobody applied. This is the problem at the moment, particularly in the West.
But why is it that they won't apply, apart from it being very hard work? Surely there's a decent financial reward for it. Where does that decent reward come from? When I go to see my doctor, I don't pay him anything, but he's being paid or she's being paid. So this new person that you can't get to go to Fermanagh, why is it that they won't go?
GPs are self-employed independent contractors, so they run the business themselves. The health service pays them £129 to look after a patient for a year. For that £129, you would see the patient seven times. You would do maybe a dozen or two dozen blood tests on them. You would provide them with, what's the latest, 20 prescriptions on average per year. You do the referrals, house calls, phone calls, etc., all for that £129.
So the more patients you have, the more money you're going to have.
Correct. And the problem is not the money in terms of the payment to GPs. GPs are well paid, no argument there. The problem is that the work is seen as too difficult, you can't cope with it, and if you're in a single-handed practice, particularly out in the rural areas, you are in what the younger GPs would think would be an unsafe environment. The older guys get used to it and plugged away. The younger ones would see that as a high-risk environment, and they would look for a group practice in Belfast, Derry, Ballymena, or wherever, where they would work with five or six other doctors and have a work life balance that might be better.
So are you serious that the country practice is going to more or less disappear?
No, that's what the point we're raising here. I went to the GPs in Fermanagh. I'm the chairman of the BMA's GP committee. So I went to them and said, you've got 18 practices. I know we're going to lose a few of them, but can you hold at least half of them? And they said, no. And I said, of course you can. And they said, no, we can hold 5 out of the 18. And I said, don't be ridiculous. We have to hold at least half of these. And they said, we can't, because we can't recruit into these practices. Now, that's just Fermanagh. Fermanagh seems to be at the front of the queue here, mainly because their GPs are much older than average, and they're all, one-third of them seem to be ready to retire in the next 18 months. This will also be true of Armagh, it'll be true of Tyrone, and it'll be true of many of the rural areas. What we're going to have to do is adopt a hub-and-spoke arrangement where we create hub practices, and then these other practices act as spokes or branch surgeries of the bigger practices so that we can maintain the service.
And what is the government able to do to assist? Is there anything practically that they can do short of writing checks?
We have the highest workload of any of the four countries in the UK. We need to fix the workload thing. And we need to stop shifting work out of all the reports in Northern Ireland, shift work out of hospitals and into general practice. But then they put all the workers into hospitals and they don't put any of the workers into general practice. With the lowest number of GPs per head of the population of any of the four countries in the UK, so we need more GP trainees. And we increased the numbers there. Mr. Hamilton increased them from 65 to 85 with a target of 111. We need to get that to 111 quickly. We have the lowest funding of any of the four countries because we put all our money into hospitals, and the reason we put all our money into hospitals is because that's where the media and the public see the problem.
Yeah, but this isn't going to be a good day for you today, because the Assembly today is debating that very issue. And I just know, I just see in front of me from the Assembly business site that I have up on the screen, that this Assembly notes the continuing crisis that's being discussed today in hospital waiting times, with 376,382 people waiting for a first outpatient appointment, diagnostic test or inpatient treatment as of 31st of March 2016. Further notes this Assembly that whilst there have been some limited improvement over recent months, the situation remains considerably worse than 12 months previously, expresses deep concern that the number of outpatients waiting longer than the maximum permitted time has increased from 15,000 to 100,000. This is a major issue that they're debating today, and they're asking the Health Minister what action she's going to take to address this unprecedented crisis, as they describe it. And this is all about the hospitals.
And I have great sympathy with the Minister in this problem, and you and I know, Frank, that every year they take 20, 30, 40 million and apply it against the waiting lists for hospital outpatients, and every year it fails to solve the problem. You and I also know, Frank, because we're doing this a long time, that the Hayes Review, the TYC Review, Donaldson Review, and we have Bengoa Review this year, have all said the same thing, which is we apply too much of our resource to hospitals, we spread our resources too thinly across too many sites, and it is an inefficient system. So we either throw money at it, like they've done every year with another 20, 30, 40 million, or we fix the system. Bengoa will, like the other three previous reports, give us good plans to rationalise the system, and that will require hard political decisions.
Including the closing of some hospital facilities?
No, I wouldn't say. You see, everybody focuses on buildings. It's about services. It's about not spreading our resource too thinly, not saying, oh, I'm going to have an A&E in every one of the hospitals, not having a renal unit or a cardiology centre or active surgery in every site, but having services that meet the needs of the patients, but not trying to have it at every corner in Northern Ireland. That requires hard decisions, and that's what hasn't happened over the last decade or more.
So in the meantime, the GPs, the doctors, especially the doctors out in the country areas, but the doctors, the GPs everywhere in all the practices, they feel the poor cousin to all of these debates and discussions.
Every year the same thing happens. You know it, I know it, and we push more and more of the funding into hospitals where the solution isn't, and less every year. We're down to 6% of the funding of the health service in Northern Ireland in general practice. It used to be 11%. We're now down to 6%. If you put less and less money into the prevention side, which is general practice, you know, stopping heart attacks, stopping strokes, diagnosing cancer early, if you put less into the prevention, you're going to get more and more work into the treatment side, into the hospital side. That's an inefficient and ineffective way to deal with this. It requires hard political decisions, decisions that will not be popular. And that's where the Assembly is. And we've got a new government in the Assembly. Let's see them make the hard decisions. I know it won't be easy, but it's the way to get the best service.
Did you suggest there a little earlier before I interrupted you that it's partly down to how the media covers it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is, I find it very difficult to get any space for general practice. I mean, I'm here today, Frank, talking about three quarters of the GP's practices in Fermanagh possibly closing. That is an event which is extraordinary in the last 70 years in the whole life of the health service. That has never happened. And yet, what are the Assembly discussing today? Now, we have approached every MLA in the previous Assembly. We've discussed this with every party. And to be quite frank, they are always distracted by hospital outpatient waiting lists. And you and I know that it's much more important to have a GP service in a village or a town in Fermanagh than it is to focus on the outpatient.
Well, we tend to think that they're equally important.
Again, I'll come back to what's more important, preventing an illness or treating it. Which is more important, prevent your heart attack or treat it when you have it? Now, I appreciate that when somebody's pumping on your chest and saving you from a heart attack, that looks like it's the most important thing. But to be frank, sorry for the pun, but to be frank, you need to treat your blood pressure, prevent you from getting diabetes and prevent you from getting a heart attack. That's where the improvements, everybody and every report says this, shift resources into primary care to prevent illness. All the reports say this, and every time nobody does it, they put more resources and more staff into hospitals. There are now something like 3-4 times as many doctors in hospitals as there are in general practice. That's mad. That's just putting your resource in the wrong place.
Dr. Black, it's quite a pitch that you're putting, and I appreciate you coming on. Thanks for your contribution. Thank you.